From KLCC Media, this is The Oregon Grapevine. I'm Barbara Dellenbach. The Oregon Grapevine is conversations with people who are actively and passionately creating the present and future in which they want to live. League of Women Voters was founded more than 100 years ago as a nonpartisan, activist, grassroots organization that believes voters should play a critical role in democracy. Rebecca Gladstone is the president of League of Women Voters of Oregon. Let's start with the name. Why is women still in the organizational title?
That's a good question, and it's something that's been visited for a few decades now. We've had men in the league, and I think it's a matter of branding because we're so well recognized. But we have men members. We have we now welcome students and from age 16 up. So it's kind of an honorific, maybe. Last time I was aware of this conversation, the question arose: do we really want to adopt a binary gender identity? Maybe not. So it's still the League of Women Voters, but it's certainly not limited.
What does the League of Women Voters of Oregon accomplish and work on?
We have multifaceted purposes. And I would submit that if somebody is interested in a particular issue, they should join us and bring their strengths to the table. So we do voter services and we do advocacy. We work in the Capitol. We work in local, state, and national government organizations to affect policy. So it's kind of bifurcated in that respect.
And how do you decide on which is the issue or what are the issues of this particular year that we feel are worth our time and that's what we're going for?
Good question. So at some point, before the session starts, the major coordinators, the central coordinators for each of our policy portfolios gets together and said, what are we gonna work on? What are our priorities? But these are not exclusive. We work on revenue. Revenue problems are huge, always, but now add in COVID and wildfires in Oregon. It's a real strong concern of ours. We have revenue. We have natural resources, which is all over the map for air, water, soil, transportation, radioactive waste, all kinds of things. We have governance. Governance is also one of our huge portfolios. And climate, some of these have spun out. Like, we have so many people working on climate right now, but it's sort of its own identity. And we have people working locally at the state and with a national climate team now. So we're all over the map on this. So we do have a priority sheet that in a different session we would print copies and take paper around to legislative offices when the session starts. But we're not doing in person in the building. And now we're starting to see paper-free zone signs on legislative offices. So not so much paper. But we do have legislative priorities. But I want to amend that by saying that what used to be a really active group of 3, 4, 5 members who had been in advocacy for a long time, we now have over 20. And they have really specialized fields they're looking at. I mean, thank heavens for them, radioactive waste. We're looking at police reform and racism issues. We're looking at, as I mentioned, the climate change. I was looking at a concern this morning on the Deschutes River, the Deschutes Water Basin. And over the course of the last year, I was looking. We had over 120 letters that were written for one topic or another to affect policy and legislative action. It's like hydroplaning keeping up with this group.
Well, let's drill down for a minute on, let's say, wildfires or death penalty or okay. Whatever. An issue comes to you, someone and some group of people within your organization study it, presumably the pros and the cons of a specific thing. I don't know what it would be with wildfires, but you can tell me. Or pro or con the death penalty. And you have this conversation. Presumably not everyone feels the same way. What do you do? Where does it go?
Okay, so when we speak to things in the legislature or publicly or wherever it is, our positions, we take positions based on studies. We look at this stuff. Like most of us, we're volunteers. It's a grassroots organization, and most of us are not experts in any given field, although I have to say that's kind of changing. But a few years ago, early in the session, it was January or February, one of our local representatives, Nancy Nathanson, spoke to her her hacking, her identity theft. And I thought, man, we've got to speak to this. This is terrible. And we do have some policies that sort of bridge on it. But our group decided at that point we had not specifically studied privacy law, consumer privacy, cybersecurity. And I thought, all right, you throw that gauntlet, we're doing a study. And we did one. We have a very careful, this is competitive. What are we going to study? There are people who want to have positions we can use for hard rock mining, for water quality, for transportation, for, you know, police reform, all of these things, for judicial reform, for criminal justice, for racism issues. I mean, I'm sorry, healthcare, it's all over the map. So we really pushed for this, and we said, look, we've got the committee ready, rearing to go to study this, and we spent about a year. We took it to our national convention, and it stood muster against some of the other proposals. The study is completed. We reached out to all of our members and said, read this study. It's online on our website, lwvor.org. Look for our studies, and you can find the cybersecurity, privacy and cybersecurity, it's on there. It's really kind of fun to read, but it's also way down in the weeds, but the illustrations are way fun. The board just approved our official advocacy position for this yesterday at our board meeting. And so we're looking now at this point, we are able to say, we have a position on this. This is how we feel about this. Meanwhile, when we started this study, it was privacy and cybersecurity today. But as soon as we got into it, we wanted to scrap that today because every day something comes up that makes this yesterday. We do have studies. You can find all of our studies online, and we coordinate. It's a lot of work. So we look at studies from other leagues, national studies, and we update them when we have the grassroots volunteer research staff. And so, hello, if you're a researcher and you want to participate, you are so welcome. We need researchers. We need people to help with voter registration. We need people in the Capitol or remotely in the Capitol. I hope that answers your question.
It does. And then what? You come down with a position. We're scared about this particular thing about privacy. So what, and then where?
Okay, so privacy. Privacy is an aspect of cybersecurity, and consumer privacy is part of it. Healthcare, consumer privacy, all kinds of things come into play here. And so we now have this position, and we've been participating and observing and being aware of other things that are going on because of this. So, for example, Ellen Rosenblum has a consumer privacy task force that's been engaged that I've been sitting in on for over a year now. And this past fall, we kind of put it on hold because of COVID and not knowing and fast rising developments in privacy law and technology and so forth. We were hoping that there would be a legislative concept that could be drilled down starting last May and finesse it and polish it and, you know, really have it ready to go. But that's kind of on hold. So we're aware of things that are going on locally, in the state, nationally. But I have to say we're looking at this from a global perspective because the GDPR in Europe is part of what we had to look at as they were ahead of the game, certainly ahead of us on this.
So you wouldn't necessarily say we're looking at 5G and don't do it. You would say net neutrality. We feel this way about net neutrality, so we're going to go lobby our legislators so that in Oregon this particular thing takes place. That's not where you're going with these papers.
In some respect, yes, it is. I know in the for the 2019 session, starting in September, I was working on six legislative concepts that I was putting together and shopping around to legislators to say, would you consider sponsoring this? And because the league is outside the building and legislative council does not serve us, so legislative concepts that we hope will become bills have to be submitted through legislators. So I was shopping around six of them and at that point. And we also are looking, because prospective bills are now posted, it's kind of like drinking through a fire hose, because I think there are probably fewer than 4,000, but there are usually more than 3,000. And so you just got to scan those as fast as you can to see, this is the one. We don't have to start from scratch. We want to go see Representative so-and-so and any of the co-signers. And there's probably a companion bill on the Senate side. So same deal there. And yes, this is a very busy time for us.
You mentioned that you can have and have opened up membership to people who are 16 and older. If I'm 25 and I see what you're doing and I'm kind of, you know, I'm politically aware, but I'm an activist or I'm doing whatever, why would I consider joining you? How are you relevant to me?
I would say that one way you're relevant is that the league has a really strong, well-respected voice. It's common that legislators or task forces or state commissions or agencies would contact a league advocate to say, where is the league on this? Can you please come speak to this? Because we've been working on issues for decades, and we have good track record of speaking without a partisan stance, from an informed position, and we keep really good notes, so we're on it. So you'd have some weight, but you'd have some pull, I should say, if you want to advocate for something. Also, we do train. One of the things that I joined the league for was mentorship. We mentor leaders, we mentor advocates. It's a warm organization. It's compelling, and it's the smartest group of women I've ever belonged to. And there are some men who are pretty smart in it too.
How does the actual being a member work? And is membership dropping, staying the same?
Membership is growing. And COVID is a wild card. So you join a local league, or you can join as a member at large. So we have a pretty active league in Lane County, where I live. There's a very active league in Portland, in the Portland area, Clackamas, Washington County, the metro area. The Chutes has been growing by gangbusters. They had a membership drive, and they were hoping to reach a goal of 100 members, but it just leapfrogged up to almost 170. I don't know where it is today, but lots of members. And we bring individual strengths to this. So for your question of how do we meet, I know one day last summer I had 9 Zooms in one day. So we have committees that convene at the local, state, and national level. You don't belong to all these. You don't have to answer to all of them. But, like, for instance, most of our local leagues have programs, like, on a monthly basis, where you can go and hear on hot topics that are pretty well arranged, so they're right on the minute for what's going on today that you will want to know about from experts. We invite legislators. We invite. I took a tour of the state hospital out at Junction City before it was opened with my local league. It was a little bit chilling because it's not a warm, fuzzy place, but it was nice to be able to go into there and see what's available for treatment to try to keep people safe.
What about debates? The league is somewhat famous, I think, for candidates' debates. Still something you do?
Oh, that's a great question. Yes, it is. Thanks for asking that. Yes, we absolutely do. And we're moving towards more candidate forums. One of my favorite things a few years ago was a candidate fair, an issue fair. And so I drove up to Washington County for the league there, and there was a large room with full of tables, and they had invited candidates for all these races, and people who were advocating for or against ballot measures, and other people showed up because, hello, we want to tell you how the local public utility district office feels about this, or the political parties showed up, or you know, a youth group shows up. And then, after a few hours, they adjourned to more like a theater room where they had forums where there were a number of these sequentially. So the candidates who showed up for this race had a little while to answer questions and then take questions from the audience and so forth. I love that when we do that. COVID and Zoom put an entirely different spin on this, but we're working with it, and it's challenging. But on the other hand, I think in some respects we might have gotten better participation from candidates because they don't have to drive. They don't have to figure out, oh, scheduling. And more people can see them. You don't have to see them in person. So our video voters guide on our website had a zillion interviews with individual candidates. At the state level, we didn't have any presidential stuff. But we did have from congressional candidates and state, local. Special districts are kind of coming on board. It's a challenge for some because many of the special district candidates are volunteers, and they may or may not have websites, and so we're working on that because we really want people to know who represents them. And that goes for judicial candidates, which is something we really want to nail down in the future.
Anything surprising or additional about the league that you wish to add here, Becky?
I have to say, I am so impressed with how, given that we're now 101 years old, we're keeping up with the times. I know when I first joined the league, one of our board members had said, I don't know about this Facebook thing. I think that any posts on Facebook should be pre-approved by the board, which means monthly. And some of our members would say, email's great. I'm on it. You can count on me. I read my email religiously every week. That's no longer the case. Now, most of our members are absolutely email literate, intensely focused on current events. We have press releases that are much more timely, and we're more nimble with addressing issues so that you can count on the league to have a position. I am really impressed with that, and the membership has grown. So we're more, I'm hoping that we are more competent and more on the money with whatever these issues are that need to be addressed. So if you see something that you really care about and you don't see a league position, contact us. Email us, lwvor@lwvor.org, or call our office and ask. And we will welcome you in to work with us. We can make progress. We're not partisan. We don't ever support individual candidates, political parties. We do take stands on issues, ballot measures.
Thank you very much for your time. We've been speaking with Rebecca Gladstone, president of the League of Women Voters of Oregon. You've been listening to KLCC Media's The Oregon Grapevine, conversations with people who are actively and passionately creating the present and future in which they want to live. I'm Barbara Dellenbach.